Our text this morning is Proverbs 13:20. If you would turn there in your Bibles. Remember, the book of Proverbs is a call to the covenant community to walk in wisdom with God. There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. This morning we're going to look at the togetherness, the help we can get as we walk with God on His mission. Again, our text is Proverbs 13:20. This is the word of God. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Let us pray. Lord, we do ask that you would show us Christ this morning. Open our hearts to receive him through your word. And Lord, grant that your sermon would come forth this morning and your people would be blessed. And all this we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. In The Lord of the Rings, that great book and movie, the trouble is, Sauron is back, and he is after the Ring of Power, which will give him too much power, and he can destroy Middle-earth. And Frodo has the ring, and they go to the Council of Elrond, which is an elf. And anyways, they're deciding, what do we do with this ring? We have the ring. We don't want Sauron to get it. What do we do? And there's debate about, should we use it? Should we just throw it in the sea? But they realize the only way to destroy the ring is to take it to the place it was made, Mount Mordor, and the fire's there, and cast it in there, and it will be destroyed. And Boromir is incredulous. He's like, one does not simply walk into Mordor. But Frodo volunteers for the job anyways. He's like, we've got the ring. I will walk it there. I don't know the way. Gandalf offers his help. And Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli, they all offer their help. Boromir even offers to help on this journey as they walk this ring to Mount Mordor to destroy it, to bring peace. And Samwise Gamgee, maybe the best friend of all of literature. I love this character. He comes out of nowhere and he's like, I'm going to go too. He has nothing to offer except his companionship with Frodo. And so it is Sam, when Frodo, as the movie progresses, they all go out together. And as the movie progresses, Frodo realizes he cannot keep that ring around the others because it's too tempting. And so he leaves. But Sam will not let Frodo go alone. And he goes with him. He goes with him on his journey. And they have this mission to walk to Mordor in the service of good. In our text here, we see a walk. We see a walk on the mission of God, to walk with him and to serve him. And this walking in this text isn't just to walk wherever we want to go, to do whatever it is we want to do. It's a mission, it's a journey to become wise, as the book of Proverbs has called us to. You know, Scripture often uses this walking language to describe how we live before God. In the Garden of Eden, God would walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And we see this walking language throughout, but in Revelation we see that it ends with walking. By its light, that is the light of the throne from God in Christ, will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. We see this walking with God as one of the great privileges and promises of Scripture. And we're called to walk today with the Lord, to walk in wisdom. But why is this proverb needed? Why do we need this proverb to guide us on that? And that's because one cannot simply walk by themselves with God in service of Him. We need help. We need help along the way. Help that Frodo needed and he got. But in our culture, we can be tempted to be too individualistic, to think we can do it alone, to think, I don't need anybody else. Or we can get distracted and need somebody to point us back along the way. And we can also get weary when the going gets hard. But our text reminds us that we are called to walk with God, and we must find help on the way. And as we walk this journey with God, what kind of traveling companion do we need? Well, we must walk with wise friends. Walk with wise friends. And you may say, Stephen, I don't see the word friend in our text. Good observation. I would argue that this walking denotes a closeness, a fellowship. Not just 1 mile, not just a few feet, not a meeting, though some of those are helpful. But this walking is on the long journey. We're going together. And that's what we call friends. Friends are those who go on the journey with us in the same direction, with the same purpose. They're also on the mission of God. So it's this doing life together, what we would call friends. And the friends we need on this journey are wise friends. They point us in the right direction. Now, you may say, Stephen, but I cannot tell you. You might be all right, and there's smart people in this church, but I can listen to Tim Keller and John Piper and R.C. Sproul on the internet anytime I want. They're going to give me much better material than you can give me. I'll say, you're right, you can do that. But R.C. Sproul, Tim Keller, John Piper, or anybody else, they don't know you. They don't know who you are, what you're dealing with, what struggles you have. And that's where friends come in. They know you and you deeply and where things are going on. We need friends that we can do life together. Now, are those helpful? Yes. Would I recommend them even? Yes. It's certainly better than the alternative of doom scrolling on anything else. But we also, in this journey of life, to walk with God, we need friends along the way who know us. And that's where friends come in. Tim Keller says this, friendship must be carefully, intentionally cultivated through face-to-face time spent together. We have to make time and space for our friends, for them to walk with us, to know us. But if you grant, okay, we need friends, what are we looking for in these friends? Well, I'm going to offer three things that we get from other proverbs. The first is depth, duration, and dependable. So those are the three things. Depth, dependable, or duration, and dependable. First, let's look at depth. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. That is, our friends know us so well, they know where we mess up, and they are the ones who graciously point us in the right direction. The wounding here. Because if you surround yourself with people who tell you only what you want to hear, those are actually your enemies. They're profuse kisses. So this depth of friendship where they know the whole you. I had a friend in high school who said, let's meet at Dairy Queen. And it was kind of awkward just to meet at Dairy Queen, but I was like, okay. And it's a Dairy Queen right here on 153. And I remember sitting there, and they shared with me a character flaw. A sweet treat, and yet a faithful wound, right? Like, It wasn't fun to hear. I don't like to be told these things. But I took it under advisement, and it was good for me. They knew me, and they were graciously said, hey, maybe you should change a little bit. And I took it, and I think it was helpful. And I've thought about it since. And we have Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We're this working together, this grinding to make us sharper and better tools for God. It takes friends to do that, who know you deeply. And Tim Keller says, true friendship is both reassuring and bracing. It's reassuring because they can encourage you and they know exactly how to lift you up. But it's bracing because they also know your weaknesses and your flaws and can point those out to you as well. Hopefully done in grace and love. True friends are there to be honest about our shortcomings, but also honest about the Christ who brings forgiveness and strength. Duration. Friends, a true friend should be there for a long time. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. At all times. As we go through life, we want somebody who can be there for it all, who've seen many things at all times, even the adverse times. In the Old Testament, there's a story, and it was actually preached on at GA this week. GA is General Assembly, the annual meeting of our denomination. All the pastors and churches, we all get together. And David and Jonathan were great friends, even though David was anointed king when Jonathan's father Saul was king. So that in human terms, in worldly terms, they're enemies. But through the grace of God, they developed a deep friendship. And Jonathan said, I will serve you when you actually become king. But Jonathan dies. And David had promised to welcome Jonathan in and to serve and care for him. But Jonathan dies in battle. And sometime later, David thinks of Jonathan and says, is there anyone left in the house of Saul which I might bless? And it turns out, Jonathan's son is alive. And David says, I will bring him in. He will eat at my table forever. Because of the long-term friendship, David, even when Jonathan was dead, was caring for his friend and his friend's son. He had kept that. We need friends like that, that love at all times. And then friends are true friends. Wise friends are dependable. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That is when the going gets hard, when things are difficult, you can depend on them to be there for you, that they'll drop everything to come to aid you on this journey, to point you in the right direction. We need wise friends who know the depth of us, who are there for us for the long haul, and are dependable in order to aid us to go far in this Christian life. Now, I have been blessed. I have a group of friends from college, the University of Tennessee. We all graduated. And we all graduated about 2000, let's say, give or take a year. And in 2005, we said, hey, let's go to an away game together. So we packed up our bags and we headed to watch Tennessee play Notre Dame away. And we lost. But that started the thing. So we said, let's get together every year and let's go to a Tennessee game. And we've been doing it every year since. And it's been a huge blessing because we've had this long-term friendship where every year we get together and we catch up, but we're challenging each other, we're encouraging each other. And throughout the year, we know what's going on and we're there for each other. And I've been blessed to have this. I've been challenged and I've been encouraged. When I was serving in Uganda, I obviously could not go to the game. They called me from the game and said, hey, here we are. Here's what we're doing. It was great. And I was like extra impressed because they're calling Uganda, which costs money, a lot of money, you know. So, but we were having a good time. We caught up. And I was just blessed by that. Some of the friends in that group, one served in East Asia. I went to visit him. And when I was in Uganda, he came to visit me. We have developed deep friendships. And as we've gone through ups and downs, we've been there for each other. And it's been a blessing. And I thank you, Lord, for that. But that's what we need in life, is friends like that who can be a blessing, walk with us on the journey, and point us in the right direction. And that's one of the reasons why at this church we have small groups. It's a way for us to be intentional, to have that face-to-face interaction with others where we can go deep in the Word and in our own lives, where we can go together for a year, or some have been together for many years, and they're dependable, that when life gets hard, they're there for you to care and provide encouragement and hope. So look for that. We'll sign up in a month. You're going to start hearing more about small groups. So think about that. If you're not in a small group, and many of you are, I would encourage you to look for one and find one. To find people that can get in your lives and challenge you. And as we walk along this mission that God has given us, not only are we to have wise friends, but we must avoid foolish companions. We must avoid foolish companions. Look at the second half of the verse. The companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, unless you want to suffer harm, we should avoid the foolish companions. That is, the foolish companions are those that distract people from walking with God and making it on the journey. They distract and make weary. And remember, what is a fool? In the book of Proverbs, what is a fool? The fool is the one who says in his heart, there is no God. So we're not just talking about silly people, right? We use fool a little differently in English today, at least in American culture. But in the strict way, it's those who would distract you from serving God. There is no God. And they're going to take you on a different direction. Matter of fact, Psalm 1 begins this way. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. That's the blessing comes from not having those sort of companions, those sort of people in your life that distract you from walking with God. It would be like asking Bernie Madoff for business advice or financial advice. If you're not familiar with Bernie Madoff, he robbed a bunch of people of millions of dollars through a Ponzi scheme. And we don't want that kind of misdirection, that kind of distraction. James 4:4 says this: Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What is friendship with the world? It's aligned with those who are not aligned with God. In this context, the world doesn't just mean everybody. It means those systems, institutions, and actions which are aligned against God. When the foolish companions in the world are our main source of help, when they're the main things in our life, then they will distract us from walking with God. They will make us weary on the way. Now, what do you think one of the biggest fears of parents, maybe not you all parents, but me, but I've heard this a lot. Biggest fear of parents, who are going to be their friends? I don't want them to go with the wrong crowd, get involved with the wrong people. Right? It's one of the biggest prayers that they pray for their children, that they would find the right friends who would encourage them on the way. Will they be foolish friends, companions, or wise friends? We want our children to have good, strong, wise influences in their lives. And so I'll ask you, children, those that, I don't know, pick an age, 18 and under. Who are your friends? Who are your influences? Are they pointing you towards Christ? Are they encouraging you along the way? Or are they distracting you, making you weary along the way? But we have to ask ourselves the same question. What kind of companions or friends do we have? Do we have those who are helping us along the way? Or do we have those who are distracting and dismaying? And if you look around and you say, Lord, I don't know that I have any in my life. We'll pray and ask Him to send you people. Look around this room. There are many here who would love to walk with you. Many who are wise friends. Now, I hear you asking, and I know you have this thoughts running around. But, Stephen, you don't understand. I got to be around these people at school, with sports, with work. I can't avoid that. You're right. You can't. But the point is, are they the main influences in your life? Or are they not? You know, they're there. They're you like them. You get along with them. Maybe even friendly with them. But they're not your deepest friends helping you with the deepest questions of life. We can't avoid being around them. We know many of them. But the key is that we have to see them not as distracting us on the way, but as part of our work as we walk with God. That's why we should pray for, share the gospel with, and interact with those who we might think are foolish companions, who do not know God. We should work with them and point them to Christ, point them on the way, so that we become their wise friends and them not our foolish companions. But we do it with the help of our friends who hold the rope as we go down into the mine to look and serve for them. And so we are to walk with wise friends, avoid foolish companions, but how? How do we do this? Where do we get the strength? Where do we get the power? Well, we must walk with Jesus, our best friend. We must walk with Jesus, our best friend. In a stunning move in the Gospels, Jesus turns to his disciples, whom he called, they call him teacher and master, and he says this in John 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The great God of the universe, through whom all things are made, turns to his disciples and says to them, you are my friends. And he says that to you and me today. You are my friends. And how does Jesus treat his friends? Well, in John 15, 13, he says this. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is willing to lay down his life for his friends so that they may walk with God. He lays down his life so they may be forgiven. He provides the depth of solution for our sin. He has promised an eternal duration with us. And he is dependable, and he will do it. And the walk that he puts us on is this, and the end of goal, and it's Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. The goal is, the walk is to be like Christ, to be conformed to his image. And the promise of this passage is that it will happen. He will get us there. He will walk us all the way to the end. Jesus is our truest, wisest friend who carries us all the way to the end. And if you're here this morning and you don't know this Jesus, first of all, we're glad you're here. But we would invite you to know this Jesus, to trust him, because he loves and cares for you and provides them for your sin and forgiveness and promises you eternal life. Because it's only when we know this Jesus, who loves his friends even unto death, who is our true and best friend, then can we, who gave his life for ours, can then we become true friends, true wise friends to others. Then we become true wise friends. Because which side of this proverb are you on this morning? Your friends, where would they put you in this? Are you the wise friend who walks with them, points them in the right direction? Or the foolish companion? Christ, if when we know him, he turns us into true friends, wise friends, who help us help our friends along the journey. The Lord of the Rings, Sam and Frodo have gone off. They're alone, but they're together. And the journey is long, and the journey is hard. And as they're climbing Mount Mordor, Frodo, who's carrying the ring, can't go any further. He's too tired. And Sam knows he can't carry the ring. Frodo has to be the one to destroy it. And so what does he tell Frodo? He says, in a beautiful scene, he goes, I can't carry the ring. But I can carry you, Mr. Frodo. So he puts him on his back and he carries him up Mount Mordor to finish their journey together. As Frodo throws the ring, and the ring is destroyed and the enemy is defeated. Life gets hard. And we must know that one simply does not walk with God alone. God in Christ has provided us true friends. Let us seek them out and know the blessing they are in Christ, so that we can walk the journey with God. Let us pray. Lord, you are good. You do not leave us alone, for you are with us, but you have also provided those who walk with us along the way on this journey to love and serve you. And Lord, we thank you for the people you have placed in our lives. And we ask you to continue to send wise friends who know us deeply. And we're there for the long haul, and we can depend upon. And Lord, may we point others to Jesus as wise friends to others. All this we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.